This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and continuing in our series of discussions of the current coronavirus pandemic, we're going to talk today to Dr. Mark Engelman. And the subject is how your current COVID-19 lifestyle could be harmful to you and what you can do to overcome some of the impediments to staying healthy. During this pandemic, some of us are in lockdown. There are various stages of lockdown across the country. Currently, we're experiencing a surge in certain cities. Other cities are actually emerging from lockdown. Right here in New York, where I am, things are easing up a little bit. We recorded zero deaths for the first time in months here. And things are improving, but other parts of the country, things appear to be heading in the wrong direction. With us today, Dr. Mark Engelman. He's the Director of Clinical Consulting for Cyrex Laboratories. They do a lot of very advanced and sophisticated testing. A lot of functional medicine doctors use Cyrex Laboratories. They can provide you with an immune and resilience report card of sorts. He's also the founder and president of the Engelman Health Institute, which is out there in Phoenix, Arizona, I believe. He, for 23 years, was the director of St. Joseph Medical Center Emergency Department, so he has a distinguished career in conventional medicine. He's been an expert speaker on emergency medicine in this country and across the world. He's going to help us look at issues related to gut health and stress, and also how that might relate to autoimmunity, which seems to be a component of how people react to the coronavirus. He's an expert in immunology. Maybe you can boil that down for us in a simple to understand fashion. So welcome, Dr. Engelman. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So there's a lot of talk about immunity. You know, when it comes to coronavirus. But it seems that, you know, immunity is kind of a two-edged sword. On the one hand, we want to be immune, but some of the sickest people are hyper-immune, and they go into a cytokine storm. Is there a simple way that you can boil that down for us and help us understand how it's really about immune balance and not about boosting the immune system, per se?
It is balance, and what you really want is to have a nice balance of, if an invader manages to get in, and we can go through what those various barriers are, then you want to have it take care of it as fast as you can, so obviously it doesn't do damage or kill you. And so in doing that, what we do is we have a very intricate system, which is, you know, immunology now, compared to when I actually was in medical school, or even 10 years ago, it's not a different field, but it's pretty close to being different. The strides they've made in understanding pathways of how things work is really remarkable, and we're on the edge of that even now. But anyhow, so what happens is that we our cells talk to one another. And since they don't have vocal cords, the only way they do it is they manufacture substances which are manufactured in one cell and sometimes actually have receptors on the same cell that you know, receive the signal and say, do this, do that, do this, do that. But usually they go to the cells close to them and tell those cells to do something, or they could travel, you know, all the way from one part of the body to the other. And so that's called cell signaling, and that's how we get things done. And so some of those signals are pretty strong, and if they go unchecked, can continue to send signals when you would just as soon say, okay, that's enough already.
Inappropriately.
Correct. We're starting to have, we got the alert and we got the message, but you're continuing to do this. And now, instead of helping me, it's actually starting to damage me. And that's what cytokine storm is, actually. It's just an overzealous system which starts to send out all sorts of messages which get the whole system very amped up.
So what are some of the determinants of, you know, whether a person has an appropriate immune response, an immune response which enables them to be asymptomatic, or perhaps just to, you know, have a normal upper respiratory infection, you know, which may sideline them for a few days, like a bad cold, because this is a coronavirus.
Right.
It's related to the common cold viruses, versus those who go down that slippery slope towards hospitalization and, you know, being on a ventilator, and sometimes that's an exit scenario.
Well, the problem, what they found is that the immune system likes to work. It's like we're like a factory. We like to work in the optimum circumstances. So optimums, and if we do, the chances are we should have a pretty decent outcome. So in like a factory, you have to have time to rest. You got to get the proper supplies and so forth. So it has a lot to do with how we take care of ourselves. Not totally, because I think there's genetics involved, but to a large extent, your resiliency and your modulation of your immune response has a lot to do with, you know, do I have diabetes? Do I have high blood pressure? Do I have, you know, cardiovascular things? Do I eat proper foods? Do I have lots of toxins from eating crappy food and processed food? Because at some stage, you can only take so much input before the factory starts to break down and make mistakes. And so if you smoke, and if you don't sleep well, and if you don't get some exercise is interesting. I know it's one of the things we're going to talk about. There's that concept called hormesis. Are you familiar with that?
I guess it could be boiled down to, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
To some extent, it's being on edge, but not being exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you had a bunch of soldiers and they were, and you took them out and every day you had them run 15 miles,
mm-hmm.
and they're exhausted. And then the other side is you never had them exercise at all. They could sleep and drink beer or whatever they wanted to. Either one, when the battle comes and it's time to get up and do the job, the exhausted ones, you know, couldn't even do it if they wanted to. And mm-hmm. the other ones are so lazy mm-hmm. that it takes to me just to get off the couch, you know, just to go out and put on a uniform. And hormesis is doing enough to be on edge. The Israelis have use that for their training for their soldiers a lot.
Their special forces, yeah.
Yeah, it's not to go out and exercise. If 1 mile of running is good, then 15 miles has got to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's being on edge so that mm-hmm. you're not a couch potato, but you're not exhausted from
over-exercising. Not over the edge.
And
this may apply to other forms of stress. I mean, there's good stress, I mean, because boredom is the alternative to stress. There's also stress from heat and cold. There's some evidence that exposure to cold can be helpful for it. So there's also some suggestion that things like fasting or intermittent fasting, that form of stress up to a certain point, you know, short of starvation, can be stimulating and good for the immune system. It allows the body to rest and clean up, and there's something called autophagy that occurs during that time. So these are some of the things, some of the components that may go into a recipe for optimal immunity.
I'm an intermittent faster, or not. I mean, I do a daily, so I have an 8-hour eat for during 8 hours of the day. Mm-hmm. So I won't eat up past about 7 or 8 at night, and then I don't eat anything.
So you're doing the time restricted feeding.
That's correct.
TRF,
and it really has worked out great for me. Mm-hmm. Once you get used to it, mm-hmm. but a lot of this has to do with epigenetics, where you have certain genes that sense whether they can sort of lazy around or whether they have to be on guard and become efficient, so that you're an efficient machine. Mm-hmm. You don't waste energy and so forth. And that's what I think the daily, you know, fasting thing does. And the research is pretty unequivocal that it seems to work pretty well and tells you why. So,
but the proposition behind this conversation, you know, as you write, is that the COVID-19 lifestyle can actually be harmful to us. And there was actually, I don't know if you've seen some of these articles, but there was an article, I think it was in the BMJ, formerly called the British Medical Journal, about the twin epidemics. And I thought that was beautifully put. There's, of course, the pandemic of, you know, COVID-19. This is a pandemic of metabolic syndrome, you know, which leads to far more deaths and has predated coronavirus and will, you know, out-survive coronavirus when coronavirus is in the rearview mirror. But what they said is that paradoxically, the risk factors for both are the same, is that the very same individuals who are susceptible to all the diseases, the degenerative diseases, the so-called non-communicable diseases, that these same risk factors put people at risk for morbidity and mortality, dying from COVID-19. But they also say that and they use the analogy, it's the British Medical Journal. So they said, we're like the kid who's, looking at the ball, while somebody else slips a ball into the goal, that's a soccer analogy, because yeah. We're so fixated on COVID-19 that we're kind of forgetting about all these other, these comorbidities and these metabolic risks that make us unfit. And they're saying we need to pay more attention to these ordinary risk factors rather, you know, we're looking for the magic bullet, the drug, the remdesivir, the vaccine. But some of these fundamentals are important in terms of not just COVID-19, but all the other diseases.
They're huge. They're huge. I bet the same thing that makes us, there's nothing, I mean, they're every virus, every bug is unique in its own way. So, but we have certain ways that we go about things. You know, it's Occam's razor, right? We've been around, and cells have been around for billions of years. If we hadn't figured out pretty steady pathways to solve problems and had to recreate the wheel every time a challenge came, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And so we're pretty, the way we go about things is pretty standard. And so, you know, coronavirus is unique because it uses particular receptors and so forth. And it's like, it's an advent. If you're a coronavirus, you've got a lot of things going for you, right? From an advantage standpoint. Mm-hmm. And, but the problems that we have is if we don't have things tuned up, and if we're not ready to go, that once it takes a foothold, it's a lot. I believe that most of these are, you better get this early. Mm-hmm. I mean, get after it early, not get it early, but get after it early, mm-hmm. or you're going to have problems. That's the immune system when it's working well, gets after things, keeps them out to begin with, with good barrier function. I was reading the day that, you know, quercetin, I was reading an article about quercetin having this intranasal, but I haven't seen anybody do it, but it actually increases the ciliary beating per time in the nose. If you spray it in there, and you know, obviously that's one of the ways to keep stuff out. So
that's like the first line of defense is actually our nasal passages.
Correct.
And you know, there's some stopping power there. Even if we are exposed to a novel virus that our immune systems have not yet perfected a response to, that the nose hairs in your nose are part of that barrier. The mucus is part of that barrier. It contains substances which are antiviral. And, you know, these are some things that can be cultivated through, perhaps through natural means, keep us less vulnerable.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. I think barriers, is a big deal. And in some case, and even, you know, with the mouth, I don't think the eye is a bigger mm-hmm. transmitter as some people think, but the nose, you know, definitely is.
In some of your writings, you're talking about how some of the very things that we're doing in response to COVID-19 may ironically make us more susceptible to COVID-19, such as we're staying at home. We're terrified. Our stress levels are sky high. There's part of that's due to fear. Part of that's due to economic dislocation, you know, the uncertainty about, you know, how we're going to make a living, you know, people losing their jobs. We're staying at home. We're exercising less. Our gyms are closed. I can't go to my Y, you know, right on my street. There's a Y, and I walk by it looking wistfully through the windows. It's closed. and also, people under stress tend to eat a lot of junk food. You know, the sales of mac and cheese and comfort foods and, you know, sugary stuff gone through the roof. People are, you know, sedating themselves, providing themselves with a little solace. They're bored. So, you know, are these some behaviors that we need to be on the lookout for?
There's no doubt about it. One of the things that there was a writer that was, I think, a writer for the New York Times, but he wrote about diet. He was a terrific writer. It's just a little book. But he had some rules for not gaining weight, and one of them was not to watch TV at night.
Mm-hmm. Distracted eating.
Because,
yeah.
Well, all the commercials.
Oh, that too.
Are
yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
It's
tantalizing.
You go on
yeah.
the average half hour or hour, and you think that they're advertising carrots and celery?
Mm-mm. Not happening.
So, you know, it's stuff to where you go, man, that pizza looks good. Yeah. I'd love to have that.
Yeah, and I've got an app on my phone. I can just dial it up, and they guarantee delivery within a half an hour. I can have it hot, steaming pizza right at my door.
Correct. I don't even have to get up and go get it now, in case that was a problem. My kid would be hard to do anyhow. So, there's sort of compounding effects. The more, and the other thing is that what we found, as you know, in integrative medicine is everything is related to everything. That the idea that the gut being a separate system and the heart being a separate system and the nervous system, there's receptors on all of those that are talking to one another all the time, all day, and all night long. And if a person spends their time watching, and the news is addicting now because it's insane. And so it's like watching some crazy movie.
Yeah, it's a real dopamine
it's unbelievable. And then it's dopamine, you know, from getting a buzz, and then it's depressing when you start thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it turns out all of those things, every immune cell has receptors for neurotransmitters, which nobody would have believed before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what you make in your brain will go to your immune system and have that immune system either work better or not work better. And if you look at the ability of clinically depressed people to get rid of you know, a bug, a pathogen, compared to somebody else. You put them in the same, you know, in the same serum and so forth. Their immune system takes much longer to go take care of the job. As, by the way, the other one was alcohol, which we haven't talked about.
Well, how all much the, by the way, all the liquor stores are open. That was considered, you know, an essential service. You know, and everything else was closed down. But I would walk down the street and I would say, at least I can get some booze. You know, like, come
Absolutely.
On.
Yeah. Have you been to the those guys are having the time,
they
the
are.
Liquor store
yeah.
owners?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's, my God. They think this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. It's true, and I think consumption has gone way up to the detriment of a lot of people, and it's truly immunosuppressive. One substance that's been fingered as a real determinant of immune response is cortisol. Can you explain how cortisol impacts the immune system?
Cortisol, it turns out, is the big stress hormone. And so if you look at an animal and the animal is out in the wild, or you're in the wild or whatever, and you get a fright, your cortisol level goes up and makes you, you know, allows you to get away a lot faster with more efficiency. But what it says is that if I'm going to do that, then you certainly don't have to worry about getting a disease right now. You got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it takes all the other parts and says, you can wait, you don't have to get pregnant, you don't, you know, and so forth, you don't have to eat,
just
because
have to flee.
You got to run,
right?
You got to flee. And part of that is the immune system. So what it does is it knocks down the immune system and then doesn't, you know, decreases. That's why people give steroid shots all the time if you have a joint that's inflamed and so forth, because it dampens down the immune system. But when you're trying to fight a virus or a pathogen, you know, bacteria or whatever, you want your immune system working well, not depressed. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is that on the autoimmune side is, once that's happened for a while and you've got your immune system depressed, the chances are you're not going to get autoimmunity because your immune system's not doing much. But after that, you know, that, you know, 6 months of taking your entry exam for medical school or whatever goes away, the cortisol level goes back up, and now all the stuff that was suppressed goes crazy, and your immune system goes a little on the other end. So you find a lot of people who have gone through a stressful period, really stressful, including divorces and loss of family. And then they go, oh, well, I've gotten over that now. The next thing you know, they get one autoimmune disease after the other, after the problem is taken care of.
Wow.
Because they get hyperactivity of the immune system.
Well, it sounds like, you know, some of the very things we're doing to safeguard us from COVID-19 may, paradoxically, make us more vulnerable to infection. So let's continue in that theme in part two. As our listeners know, we divide our podcast into two parts. Our guest is Dr. Mark Engelman. He's director of clinical consulting for Cyrex Labs and a longtime emergency physician. So he is both well acquainted with integrative and functional medicine as well as mainstream medicine. And he has some reflections on the coronavirus pandemic. In part two, we'll talk a little bit about how you might obtain an immune report card. Yeah, we could all use that, one of those these days. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.